And good afternoon, everybody. We're joined in studio here with us this half hour by Normal Town Man. I'm going to call you town manager, even though city manager is what you're known as.
Technically, right? Yeah. But it, by ordinance, my title is official title is municipal manager.
Municipal manager. That's better because
nobody calls me that, but that you can.
You can. Don't call me late to supper.
That's right. Yeah.
Boom. Mark Peterson's here. We'll have you tell some jokes here because I understand you're premiering your stand up comedy here pretty soon.
Yes. And Friday night.
That's going to be at Heartland. And I've already said all you have to do is get up there and start saying things like, no tax increases for the next 100 years.
Well, thank you. That's a good tip. I might try that.
Keep it low. Okay. I wanted to talk to you about the two businesses that are moving from Normal to Bloomington.
Yeah.
One of them we've talked about a lot because the story's been around for a long time, and that's Dick's Sporting Goods. But the announcement here in the last week or so that the Kroger store on College is pulling up stakes and moving to the other side of College and into the city of Bloomington caught an awful lot of people by surprise.
Me included.
Yeah.
I received a telephone call from my counterpart about 2 weeks ago. Just say, hey, just so you know, we've been talking with Kroger, and they're going to be moving over across from Meijer. They're going to provide some sales tax incentives to help that project go forward. But it did completely surprise me because I know for a fact that's a very good producing Kroger grocery store. Of course, it's been there a long time. 2 years ago, they just made a major investment in that store, did a remodel, put in the gas station, did some parking lot work. And so we were, frankly, very surprised that they had made the decision to move. And again, we didn't know a thing about it. Disappointing, but those things happen. And we've got to move on. And we'd like to talk to the Kroger officials about what they plan to do with that property. They do own it. I've read in the newspaper they're hoping to find a buyer or a tenant. But we have not spoken with them. I've left some messages with their real estate people and so far have not received a return call. But we hope to make contact with them in the near future.
It's disappointing on a couple levels, I would guess, that first of all, here's a store that has been a real anchor to that part of Normal for a lot of years. As you and I were talking, a lot of people can walk to that grocery store.
Right.
They're not going to be able to do that now.
Yeah.
But the third and probably most important thing is the loss of sales tax revenue. Mm-hmm. What kind of hit is this going to be for Normal?
It's a big hit. I'm not really at liberty to tell you how much. We have access to that data. We were given that by the state of Illinois, so I know exactly how much sales tax that store generates. And I can tell you, as grocery stores go, it's one of the better ones in town. They do a great business. I think there's a lot of loyalty to Kroger in that location. You mentioned there's a lot of people who walk to that store. And I'm not saying they can't walk to the new location. It's across Veterans Park, but it's a lot more challenging. So, yeah, we're disappointed they're leaving. The good news is they're staying in the community. They're investing. They're going to build a nice big store, so there'll be some, you know, construction workers that'll have some opportunity to build that. I'm assuming they'll add employment because it's a bigger footprint. So that's good news. But we're certainly disappointed that they're leaving our community, but at least they're staying in McLean County.
The new store location is going to be, for all intents and purposes, across College Avenue from Meijer.
Directly across, is my understanding, yes.
That's another thing that I have to wonder, and perhaps you already have too. What kind of incentive would it take to move a store from that location after they've just invested a lot of money to make it better, to build a gas station? How do you feel about what Bloomington must have given up to make that happen?
Well, I know exactly what they gave up because they shared that with me. And I wouldn't say it's an extraordinary incentive package. It would not out of line. It's about 10% of their total investment. I don't know if that was a make or break deal with Kroger. My guess is they probably made the decision to move and build a bigger store before they sat down with the city and said, we need some help. And the city was willing to do that. And I don't fault the city for trying to help them out. And it's certainly a gain for the city of Bloomington in terms of sales tax, and it's a loss to us. But hey, the good news is you've got a retailer that wants to expand and wants to invest, and unfortunately, I wish they'd have done it on our side of the boundary line, but you can't fault them for wanting to expand their operation here. So, people have asked me, is this poaching a business? I don't think so. I don't believe that Bloomington went to Kroger. I think Kroger went to the city of Bloomington, said, we need some help. And again, I did get a call before this became public from my counterpart letting me know that they were, you know, that they'd reached some sort of an agreement. I wish Kroger had let us know a little early to see if there's something that we could have done to help make them stay at their current location or find a location normal, but they didn't give us that opportunity, so we'll move on.
And there is a little bit of history of businesses moving from Bloomington to Normal yeah. to Bloomington, big sure. businesses, and sure. I think of Extreme Motors, for example.
Yes.
That was a huge move.
Hyundai, Extreme Hyundai moved a few years ago. We had a vacant Saturn dealership, and Dan O'Brien was looking to split. Kia and Hyundai were together, and I think for a variety of reasons, he needed to split those up into their own dealership, so he saw this as an opportunity to come into Normal to take over the Saturn dealership, and there needed to be some improvements made to that facility. So we helped him out with some sales tax. Again, shared that with Bloomington. At that time, the city reacted a little negatively to that. They got their feelings hurt. So we backed off and said, before we said, well, we'll give you an opportunity to talk with Dan and see if you can work something out in Bloomington. They weren't able to because they didn't have a facility that was like the Saturn they could move into fairly easily. So he ended up coming to Normal. But, you know, that has happened and it will happen. The one thing that we need to avoid is we don't want to get into a situation where we have a retailer that's playing the two cities off against one another. We don't want to get into a bidding war, and I don't think that's going to happen. And we also, I think, need to communicate with each other. If we're talking to a business in Bloomington, I'm going to pick up the phone and call Mr. Hales and tell him, hey, just so you know, we've been approached. We're talking with them, and I expect that they'll do the same if that situation's reversed.
Let's talk a little bit about next week, because you have a busy week
yes.
coming up the next 2 weeks, actually.
Right.
But you have the trip to Washington with mm-hmm. the One Voice Group. Tell everybody what that's all about and why it's important to you.
We've been doing this for several years, and it's a major initiative of the Economic Development Council. We take anywhere from 30 to 40 community leaders out to meet face-to-face, one-on-one with our congressional delegation in Washington, D.C. And I can tell you it makes a difference. We typically go out with some specific asks, some requests, and we limit those to a small number. We don't want to load them up, but certainly the place that I go to work every day, Uptown Station, which we used to call the Multimodal Transportation Center, that received substantial federal funding, and I think the One Voice a component was essential in getting that money secured. So it does work. Our legislators tell us that we are the model. They say, I wish all of our communities behaved like Bloomington, Normal, McLean County, in that we come out as a group, and you're talking a diverse group of business leaders, education, labor, government, all together. We're speaking with one voice. We have the opportunity to meet with all of our congressional delegation members, and they really do give us a lot of time. They it's important to them, and they set time off out on their schedule. And then we also meet with other governmental officials and some of the major agencies. Some of us may want to talk to federal transportation officials. Others may want to meet with education officials. So we'll split up and go to our areas of interest. But we always are there with kind of a consistent one voice message. We've done it for several years. I think it's a great exercise. It's a fun experience, too. Just the opportunity to go to Washington, get access to the powers there. We've had wonderful experiences, places that we've been able to go. I remember one year we had a private meeting with Justice Scalia, who just passed away. We had our group met with 45 minutes in the Supreme Court building with Justice Scalia. He was delightfully candid and funny and answered all our questions, and it was just terrific. And that was one of those opportunities that we all had. And we've had other similar situations in during One Voice where we've got to do very special things. So it's a great experience. I look forward to it, and it really is a valuable use of of our time. We're busy. It's packed full of meetings. There's not a lot of time for sightseeing, but we're there to do business, and it really is, I think, a useful exercise.
Will there be any deals done that you can bring back off that trip, or is this a starting point, a conversation starter?
Probably no deals done, but deals will be started. You're right. It's a starting point, and we will hopefully get some feedback on some of the things we're asking for, whether, you know, we'll... Our legislators are candid with us and said, boy, you know, this you've asked for, it's a great idea, but frankly, there's no money for it, or it's going to be really difficult to get that done. There may be other things they said, hey, that's doable and we'll help you. Again, the days of earmarks are done, where you used to go out and your legislator could deliver a project, you know, bring home the bacon. Those don't happen anymore, but they can be very helpful in advocating for our project. So when decisions are made, hopefully it'll be favorable to our project.
And the week after that, you come back home and you have a huge council meeting on the 7th, where the Uptown Phase 2 and the budget, all that's going to come up. And that has got to be a point for a year where you say, good, we've got all this behind us. Now we're moving ahead.
Absolutely. It's a big meeting on the 7th of March. We haven't had any really full agendas for a while, and this will be packed full of some major items. Our budget, we've got our collective bargaining agreement with the police union that we're going to hopefully approve, a very important intergovernmental agreement with the county and the city of Bloomington on mental health services and how we're going to fund those, our budget, and the other half of the hole in the ground, which is finally going to get filled, and we're excited about that. It's been a long time coming, but that project will be unveiled, and we will ask the council to approve a development agreement, and construction on that project will start very quickly, probably May or June. Very exciting.
That's a good time. Finally, are you working on your timing and your comedy for Friday night at Heartland?
I am, but I got to tell you, this weekend I came up with a few jokes. I tried them on my family. I got booed by my own family. So now I'm kind of back to the drawing board. They said, no, those are no good. Those are bad. I've never done this before. And one of your colleagues, I won't say who, but her first name is Colleen.
Yeah, I know her.
Talked me into this over the Christmas holiday. And now that it's upon me, I'm getting nervous, but it'll be fun. We'll have a good time, and hopefully the crowd will be friendly.
Yeah, they're not going to have to put chicken wire up in front of you, are they?
I hope not. I sure hope that's not the case, but we'll try to hopefully give them a few laughs and have some fun.
And raise some money for the Challenger Learning Center, and that's what it's all about.
You got it.
Yep. Mark Peterson, thanks for stopping by today. Lots of interesting stuff to talk about, and we've run out of time to talk about more, or we would. Have a good trip to D.C. We'll talk to you when you're out there.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks,
Dan. Thank you.